To be set free, that's what Andre started with last week. But I want to focus tonight on being set free from fear. Because, you know, I still need to meet somebody who is totally immune to fear. There was a stage in my life where I thought that some people are definitely immune. You know, they don't look as if there's any like little tiny little bit of fear in their lives. But when you get to know people, you realize that some people are better at hiding fear. You know, they look very confident, and I always admire people, you know, who speak so well in front of others. And I mean, I'll tell you my stories. Maybe you think that of me, but it's really not the truth. And I really always admire people who are so confident and not, you know, without any fear, that just facing the world and going for whatever they want to do. They're just not afraid. And, you know, I just realize some of us are better in hiding that. But all of us, somewhere in our lives, have to face that fear. And I remember as a little child, I had many fears as a little child. I mean, even when I broke a glass, I remember so many times. Every time I broke a glass, I don't know if it happened a lot, but it was the end of my life, you know. I don't know why. I mean, even after the first time I broke a glass after Andre and I got married, that same fear came upon me, you know. This man is now going to be so cross with me. And he couldn't figure me out. Sonika, what's going on with you? It's a glass. But I had this thing in me that now I'm in big trouble. And I've broken a glass and, you know, it costs money and everybody's going to be cross with me. I had this fear. And my aunts, two of my aunts told my mom, no, this little girl of yours has got big problems. You must take her to a psychologist. There's something wrong with her. You know, I was crying a lot and I didn't want to go sleep over with any friend. I just wanted to be with my mother. So I was this, you know, this fearful little child. And I've spoken to my mom about that, and I said to her, but I mean, my brothers and my sisters are not like that. Where did this come from? And she said to me, while she was pregnant with me, she went through a time of extreme emotional trauma. Many things happened in her life and around her that it was quite an hectic emotional time in her life, and she really believes it could have had an effect on me, even as a baby, before I was born. Now, maybe that sounds very deeply spiritual to many of you, but you know, this is why we do these courses, because God is not bound to time. He's not bound to the time that you live in now, in 2010. He's not bound to 18 April 2010. He can go back, and he can fix whatever the devil has stolen. So, this whole story, just to tell you, I had to work through many fears in my life from I suppose even from baby stage, I had to deal with it. And the five most difficult years of my life, I shared a little bit in sermons, but the five most difficult years in my life, if I think back, it all relates to fear. It all relates to a fearful state that made it even worse. Okay, and definitely the one thing I identified is the fear of the unknown. I don't know what to expect. I feel out of control. My inkies is nie lekker gepak in 'n rykie nie. I feel out of control. I feel vulnerable. And I become fearful. And then the devil takes hold of my heart. And he torments me. And he messes with me. Okay, so I want to ask you a question. Think about your life. Maybe you are one of those people who have very little fear in your life. And that's amazing. But I wanted you to think about your life. Have you maybe ever been afraid of failure or making a mistake? I certainly am still afraid of making a mistake. It's the worst thing on earth for me to make a mistake. You know, as I often need to tell myself, Sonika, you are allowed to make a mistake. And then I feel better. You know, I give myself permission to make a mistake as a mother, especially for those of you mothers. You get very hard on yourself when you're a mother. Even as a wife, you know, I'm hard on myself when it comes to being a wife, being a mother, and I often tell myself, Sonika, you're allowed to make a mistake. You are really allowed. And it sets me free because I put this burden on me that I'm not allowed to make a mistake. So I fear failure. Have you ever been afraid of the unknown, as I said? you need to move jobs, or you need to move to a different place, or you move grade, or you go to university, anything first time in your life, it freaks you out. Have you ever been afraid of death? You know, often if you don't know where you're going, you're afraid of death. But even unfortunately, if you know that you're going, you sometimes the devil still gets hold of your heart in terms of death. Maybe you're afraid of how you're going to die. Okay, maybe you're afraid of not death itself, but how you are going to die. Have you ever been afraid of public speaking? How many of you are afraid of public speaking? Be honest. Oh, okay, it makes me feel so much better. I'm going to tell you all my stories tonight, okay? And then you're going to feel so much better about yourself. Public speaking. Have you ever been afraid of growing old? You know, sitting in an old age home, your wife is dead or your husband is dead. Sitting in an old age home and you alone. I mean, that's a horrible idea for me. And we're sitting with all these fears. Have you ever been afraid of rejection? You know, you come to a new church or a new town, and now all of a sudden you think, if people really get to know me, they're not going to like me. So you're so afraid of rejection. So you put on all these masks and you try to be accepted. And it's fear of rejection is a big thing for many of us. Have you ever been afraid, for those of your parents, that your children are not going to serve God? Or that something will happen to your children? I mean, this is something I need to give to God all the time, you know? That Vian, we have a boy, for those of you who don't know, he's 16 months old. He's the cutest thing I've ever seen. You know, he's changing every day, and I'm just, you know, so privileged to be a mother. And, you know, we're sitting with all these fears. Maybe you're just afraid of spiders, or maybe you're afraid of the dark, or something funny. But the devil is using that against us, you know. And we often look at people and think, I wish I can be like you because you're not afraid. You're not like me. I'm afraid, you're not afraid, so I wish I can be like you. You know, I want to give you an example in the Bible. I'm going to make you guess. I'm sure this is a very easy one. It's a man in the Bible. He lived, well, for me, if I look at all his stories, he looks as if he's completely without fear. He killed a lion. He killed a bear. Who's that? No! Samson's a very good example as well. And you know, he was the only one in Israel who was willing to face the big giant, Goliath. He was, 16 years old or something? He was a boy. He was a high school boy. He said, I'm willing to take on that giant. Who is he? Who does he think he is? So he looks as if he's completely without fear. Okay? He looks like this hero, like this ultimate courageous man. And if you go to the Psalms, it's full of David having to deal with his fears. Have you ever noticed that? And for me, I just feel so much better about myself. You know, if I look at this man, he killed a lion, he killed a bear. I mean, I just imagine me killing a bear or a lion. Or any one of you for that matter. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, if there's a big spider in the home, I call my husband. But, you know, I want to show you two scriptures. And it's going to amaze you if you haven't noticed it before. Psalm 34 verse 4. David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Not only one. There must have been many. I sought the Lord, he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. Maybe you are so afraid to face Goliath. He just looked like this courageous little boy, not afraid of anything. But I'm telling you, maybe he had to deal with a lot of fear and had to give it to God before he faced that giant. Another one, Psalm 94, verse 19, it's David again. He says, in the multitude of my anxieties, your comfort delights my soul. In the multitude of my anxieties. Not only one thing, there's a multitude, a lot. it overwhelms me, God, in a multitude of my anxieties. And anxiety is just another form of fear. Your comfort delight my soul. So David was not without fear. Okay, I need you to click this because it was a lie I believed for many years. That there's something wrong with me because I'm fearful from time to time. There's something wrong with me. There's something inherent wrong with me because the devil comes to me and he attacks me in this area quite a bit. And I had to realize that fear in itself is not the issue. Okay, I need you to get this. David had to deal with his fears. He looked like this courageous man who never feared anything, but he dealt with it. He took it to the Lord. He prayed over it. He said, God, I'm fearful. Deliver me. Okay? It was not as if he never experienced fear. That's not the point. He dealt with it. Okay? And I condemned myself for so many years, saying, Sonika, you're fearful. You need to sort yourself out. How can you be fearful if you serve God for so many years? And I realized fear in itself is not the problem. It's what I do with it. It's how I handle it, how quickly I tackle that. And I'm going to explain to you just from my own life how I deal with it tonight. And I really hope it will be an encouragement to you. So what is fear? I'm going to give you a very short, easy definition of what is fear. It's false evidence that appears real. I need you to get this. It's false evidence, so it's not the truth. But it appears so real that for you it becomes the truth. So it's false. It's not the truth. But the devil, he brings it to you in such a glamorous way that he convinces you. He convinces you that that thing is a truth, even though it's a lie. So the fear, it grabs your heart. So it's false evidence, but it appears real. So I want you, for those of you who are creative, Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, I need you to picture a comic, okay? I should have got somebody who's very creative to draw me a comic for this, but because I can actually picture it. The wicked run away when no one is chasing. Because I need you to picture this, that somebody is running away as fast as he or she can, but there's nobody chasing. Okay, can you picture a comic? Even those of you, your left brain people, yeah? I'm left brain, so if I can do it, you can. The wicked. So I actually want to replace that word wicked. I want to say the fearful, the faint-hearted, runs away when nobody is chasing. Nobody's chasing you. But you run away because it's there's evidence that's false, but it appears so real that you're chasing. You run away. Sorry, that's chasing you. You're running away. And there's nothing. Okay? But it says that the godly are as bold as a lion. This is the shift we need to make from running away from something that is, it's not chasing us. It's false. To becoming as bold as a lion and facing that something that is chasing us. Okay, that's not real. So, why do we need to get rid of fear? Maybe you think, oh, my fears, I'm afraid of spiders, but so what? You know, I see a spider every 6 months and I get my husband to sort it out for me. So, what's the big deal now about fear? I'm not afraid of anything else, it's just spiders. Now, I want to give you three reasons why we need to deal with fear quickly, immediately, get it out of our lives, and, you know, not tolerate it even 0.0001%. All right. Fear is tormenting. All right. Even that once in 6 months you see your spider, it's not a nice feeling, okay, if you're really terrified of spiders. It's tormenting. It torments you. Okay, it hits you over the head, it makes you afraid, it makes you lie awake at night, it gives you that horrible feeling in your stomach, it makes your throat, you know, you can't speak, you can't do anything, you go blank, all those horrible things, that's fear, that does that. And it's not God's will, so it torments. It causes people who should be bold to shrink back, to hide, and to be cowardly and timid. It's a thief. And I need you to get this. Fear is not, it's not an important visitor that you need to pay attention to. It's a thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Okay? It takes our joy. It takes our peace. It takes the plan that God has for our lives. It takes our destinies. It takes everything away, and it's false evidence that appears so real in our lives that it pacifies us. It brings us to a point where we can't move. Okay, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's what happened. Then boldness and courage, that's my third reason. Boldness and courage are critical. If we want to fulfill the plan that God has for our lives, boldness and courage are critical. It's crucial. We can't do it without it. And let me tell you, if you submit under a spirit of fear, if I submit under a spirit of fear, I'm not going to fulfill what God wants me to do. And I'll tell you stories tonight of how the devil wanted to keep me in a place that he wants to silence me. He wants to just don't want me to do anything, take any risk or do anything, because he doesn't want me to walk out in faith and fulfill what God has for me. And I believe many of us, the devil from time to time, get us right into that spot where you say, it's just my personality. I'm never going to do that. And maybe it is, but if it's relating to fear, it's not your personality. Okay? And it's not God's will for you to hide away from that fear. So how do we move away from fear to a place of boldness and courage? Okay, this is going to be as practical as I can. I want to take you to a scripture in 1 Peter. 1 Peter. So I want you to identify any fear in your life. And as I said, it's crucial for us to deal with that. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 10 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. I'm just going to go to there. Be sober, be vigilant. The devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says we need to resist him. So, okay, how do we deal with our fear? Or how did God help me to deal with my fear? Okay, maybe you have other examples, other ways of dealing with it. If it works for you, praise God. If it doesn't work for you, try one or two things I'm saying tonight, because it really worked for me. First of all, we need to be sober and vigilant. You know, there's some person said, you know, there's not a devil behind every bush. There are two devils behind every bush. You know, so if we have that attitude, we're also not going to make a lot of progress. Okay, we should not exalt the devil, focus on the devil. That's not the point. But to be sober and to be vigilant is to realize that the devil is out to kill and steal and destroy. Okay, we should not be naive. We should not think, oh, the devil is a defeated foe. And Jesus is powerful, and he is defeated at the cross. Okay, when Jesus died for us, all those things. But we need to walk in that place of authority that Jesus gives to us. Okay, we must be sober, we must be vigilant, and we must realize that fear is a thief. Now, I just want you to picture this. Nobody is going to allow a thief. Okay, he's a thief. He's got a gun. Looks like a thief. Okay. Imagine, I should have got somebody looking like a thief, but in any case, next time. He's entering through your front door, and you say, welcome, Mr. Thief. So glad. I've been waiting for you. Take what you want. There's my hall, there's my dishwasher, there's my television. Take it. Okay, you treat him like this important person who can take what he wants. I mean, that's ridiculous, eh? That's absolutely ridiculous. It sounds like a comedy. Some other stupid comedy. But you know what? If there's really a thief entering our home, if you're a woman, you get your hand back. If you're a man, you, I don't know, you baseball bats. your old hockey stick somewhere. I mean, you get rid of that person as quickly as possible. And if you perhaps entered through the window accidentally, you phone 911 or you, I mean, there's no way that you're just going to allow that thing, that person to come and take whatever he wants. And fear is that kind of thing who is a thief. Okay? But I think the problem with it, we don't always recognize it. It knocks on our door, it doesn't look like a thief. It looks like this man in a nice suit and he's tussy. He's coming to visit you. You don't realize this man is going to steal or this woman is going to steal from you. Okay? Now you're treating this person as this important visitor. You allow him in your private space. And before you know, he's taken many things and he left. Okay? And you're without your refrigerator and your TV and all those things in your house. Fear does not look like a thief, but it is. Because you need to be sober, we need to be vigilant, we need to recognize it for what it is. The devil is like a roaring lion. Now, I want to share with you a vision that God showed me. You know, I went through a stage in my life, fearful time, when I was still at PwC in Stellenbosch. Something happened that's an audit manager's worst nightmare. For those of you who don't know, I worked at PwC for 11 years as an auditor. And something happened that's really, in my position, the worst thing that can ever happen to you in your work environment. And that night, Andre prayed for me. I thought, I'm not going to sleep at all. And while he prayed, God said to me, God showed me a snake. God showed me a snake. And snake dancing, okay, with his little tongue. And then God said to me, that scripture in Romans 16 verse 20, it says, and the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. And the next moment, there was this big shoe coming from heaven, crushing, not a snake. That's my husband, okay? I'm telling you, he's the coolest boss I know. The next moment, there was this big shoe. That was not my vision, okay? Do it again. Can you do it again for them, Shalene? Okay, God showed me a snake. No, where's the snake? God showed me a snake, okay, that I really must be afraid of. He gave me that scripture that he's going to crush Satan under his feet. And the next moment, I saw this big shoe, but... Are you all distracted now? Are you not listening? Okay, watch. This is very cool, okay? This is very cool. Okay, go for it. The snake turns into a snail, and then the next moment, there's this big shoe from heaven crashing. Give my husband a hand, please. You know what? God showed me that evening that the devil pretends to be this thing, this snake, wants to scare me, but he's going to crush him, but he's not even going to crush a snake. He's going to crush a snail. I mean, who of you are afraid of a snail? Be honest. Nobody. I will definitely pray for you afterwards if you are. Okay, it's this tiny little insect. Yeah, animal, insect. We're not afraid of a snail. And God says that is what he's going to crush because the devil is not a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion, or he's like that snake that I saw. So I need you to realize that we need to be sober and vigilant, but yet God is going to crush the devil under his feet. He's for us. He's with us. We need to stay in that secret place. Okay, let's continue. Now, this is what I'm going to come to now is the most important, okay? We need to resist the devil. How do we do that? We need to resist the devil. We need to take every thought captive immediately. Okay, you don't prepare your guest room for fear. It's not a visitor. It's not somebody important. It's a thief. You don't prepare your guest room. You identify him for what he is. You take every thought captive. So if fear comes to you, because it comes to us through a thought, The devil comes and he puts a thought in our mind of fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of what's going to happen to my children, fear of all those things I mentioned and many other things that you can think about. You need to take it captive. So I need you to picture this. The thought comes, you take it captive, and you put that thought in a cage, and you lock the door. Like you would do with a lion in the zoo. I mean, who of you are afraid of a lion in the zoo? Not me. I mean, he's in a cage. Okay? We need to take it, that thought of fear. We take it captive. We put it in a cage. We say, I'm not going to allow that to mess with my mind. I take it captive and I put it in a cage. Okay? By resisting it in the name of Jesus. Then you don't only do that. That's your first step. The second step is you receive the truth. And this is what Andre spoke about last week. The lie versus the truth. So every time a lie comes, because fear and a lie is very much related. You take that lie, you put it in a cage, or the fear, you put it in a cage. You go to the Word of God, and you receive the truth. The truth is, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. That is the truth. The truth is, I'm going to give you another scripture. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Oh God, I'm so afraid. What's going to happen to me? Yes, but I will help you. Read this, Monica. It's in the Bible. I'm talking to you. No, but Lord, I'm still there. I don't know. You know, I'm throwing this. I'm crying. Oh, Lord. No, but it says, I will help you, Sonika. What is your problem? You know, you need to read the Word as if God is talking to you personally, because He is. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Die Afrikaans sê, moenie bang wees nie, ek is by jou. Moenie bekommerd wees nie, ek is jou God. Ek versterk jou, ek help jou, ek hou jou vas vir die girls. Ek hou jou vas. Wat is die laaste een? Met my eie hand red ek jou, dankie jy net sê. Daai versie het al vir my so baie gehelp. Ek versterk jou, ek help jou, ek hou jou vas, met my eie hand red ek jou. That's our God. We need to go to the truth, we need to receive the truth. Okay, don't try and understand, or well, know the whole Bible off by heart. Get yourself two or three scriptures for specifically now for fear. Make it part of your heart. I've read and meditate on that thing. Moenie bang wees nie, ek is by jou. Moenie bekommerd wees nie, ek is jou God. So many times. It's so, I mean, sometimes when I can't sleep or when I'm afraid, that scripture pops into my mind. I didn't deliberately now go into the Word. It all of a sudden, moenie bang wees nie, ek is by jou. Moenie bekommerd wees nie, ek is jou God. That's what happens if the Word becomes part of your heart. In a situation of fear, all of a sudden it's in your mind. Okay, this is the Holy Spirit. Be anxious for nothing. That's the third one. So we take every thought captive of fear. Okay, you're afraid of failure. You're afraid of your test tomorrow. Are you guys writing tests tomorrow? Not. Next week. Next month. Thursday. Okay, cool. You're afraid of that test on Thursday. Okay, if you're not studying, you must be a little bit afraid, okay? It's good fear. It's a good fear Andre spoke about. I'm afraid, Lord. Now the lie and the fear says you must be afraid, because if you fail, what are people going to think? And what are the consequences? Okay, but now what is the truth? The truth says God doesn't want you to fear that failure. Why not? Because even if you fail, not because you didn't study, that's bad failure, okay? You did your best, you did everything, and now you're afraid. Even if you fail, God's not going to reject you. He's with you, and He will work it out for good, okay? That is the truth. because we're afraid of failure because of what people are going to think, consequences, etc. But if you've done everything, you're going into that test or challenge boldly. The truth is, even if you fail, God's going to work it together for good. Okay, you have to believe it. So we take it captive, those thoughts of fear, we receive the truth. Okay, and the truth mostly we find in the Bible often as well. If we bring it in the light, sometimes I tell Andre I'm afraid of something and he just says, but that's nonsense, you know. And he just kills that bit of fear right there because, you know, he just bring it in the light and his logic and wisdom makes it disappear. Okay, so that's something else. Sometimes we need to bring our fears in the light. Okay, the Word of God, walking in the light. Then be anxious for nothing. Maybe you feel you have a legitimate anxiety, like finances. Maybe you feel I need to treat it like an important visitor. Because I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. I know I'm going to put food on the table. I can't just put it in a cage and lock it up and go to the Word of God. I need to worry about this. Okay? You feel that you have to. It's your responsibility. What do you do then? If you have a situation like that, you feel that you're responsible. Then you take it to the Lord. Okay? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. You take it to God until you find that peace that surpasses all understanding. Okay. If you're worried about something, it's maybe not a fear like spiders or something like that. Maybe, but it's all related. Okay. Fear, anxiety, worry. It's all related. You're worried. You're anxious. You take it to the Lord weekly, daily, hourly, every 10 minutes. If you have to, you say, God, I'm still anxious, God. I'll give it to you. I give you this burden. You take it to the Lord. You take it to the Lord. You take it to God until you find peace. Okay. Very important. Then maybe you feel you've done all of those things. All of these things I'm telling you, you've done. And you're still fearful. What do you do then? Okay. You know all these answers. Sonika, I know all these things. I've tried it. It's not working. What do you do? If you have done all to stand, you keep on standing. Ephesians 6, you keep on standing. You keep on going to the Word. No, Sonika, but we had communion and we anointed the house and I quote all those scriptures every day. It's not working. I'm still fearful. It's not working. Sorry. You stand. You trust in the Lord. You know what happened to me last year? Vian was born 3 weeks after we arrived in East London. And I went through a stage last year where I really entered into a state of fear. Okay? And some of you know it. Some of the intercessors know because they prayed for me. I had this knot in my stomach all the time. Not for any specific thing. I couldn't sleep for like 3 to 4 months. I couldn't sleep. I would lie awake until 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then Vian wakes up, and then it was a very, very difficult time in my life. And we did everything. I did everything I told you now. I prayed. Andre would sit up straight in bed, pray between 2 and 3 in the morning for an hour with me. So many nights, I can't even remember. He prayed. We did everything. We anointed the house. He did everything we do in the Liberty and the Legacy, for those of you who've done it, all those things that normally works. He helped me pray through it, forgive everything. It didn't work, you know. And I had to face something in my life and I had to trust in the Lord. I had to hold on God. I had to hold on to Jesus, you know. And he gave me a scripture in Isaiah 15. It says, who among you fears the Lord? That is the good fear that Andre spoke about. And who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? I didn't know how to get out of that pit I didn't know. You know, and I can't tell you the whole story now because I don't have time, but obviously if I look back, it was related to Vian being born and the whole adjustment of being a mother and moving to East London and must go back to work, take him to a school. Oh, there's so many things. But because of that original fear, many other fears entered my heart. You see, that's what happened to me. I got afraid of many other things which I couldn't even put my finger to because I didn't know what's making me afraid. But it snowballed. Okay, it snowballed. And I had to hold onto the Lord. It felt to me as if I was walking in darkness and there's no light. And then it says, the scripture, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. The scripture doesn't say that there's light and glory and you're going to flourish, nothing of those things. It says, you walk in darkness and there's no light. I didn't know what to do. And I had to hold on to the Lord. I had to hold on to Jesus. And if you read you can go read it at home, the very last portion of 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 10. God spoke to me about it all the time, saying, may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, he will himself perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And I had to hold on to that. And that a while, I said to God, okay, Lord, how long is this while now going to go on for? A while is like maybe 3 days, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month. Lord, what's going on? I had to hold on to Jesus. I really had to. You know, and sometimes we need to just do it afraid. We need to just whatever we need to face in our life that makes us fearful. Having done all to stand, and we must do it afraid. Okay, so I want to challenge you. If you are afraid of something, then you must go and do that. I'm not talking about going bungee jump and those kind of things, okay? I'm serious now. I'm not talking about you're afraid of now om a false uit a fall helicopter uit te spring met a false karim. I'm not talking about those kind of thing, those kind of fears, okay? Some people are not made to do that. But I'm talking about it's legitimate fears that you're facing on a daily basis. You're afraid at work, you're afraid of so many things. You're afraid sometimes I'm afraid just to drive a new road. Then I must maybe just go and drive that road. Okay, for all of us girls, sometimes we are afraid to drive. And, you know, God doesn't want to force you to do anything, but sometimes we need to do it afraid. You know what happened to me? It's my last story, then I'm going to finish. In Stellenbosch, when they take up the offering, they do like a 1-2 minute message on finances. And the idea is not to really preach about finances. It's really just to encourage people to give. So it's maximum 2 minutes. It's part of the worship. It all flows together. And we moved back from Shafer Tigerberg to Shafer Stellenbosch. And the guy in charge of this said to me, Sonika, aren't you interested in maybe also sharing, be on the team? I said, of course, I want to do it. And there's many things in my heart about stewardship and finances. I said, I'm in. But now you must just know, Stellenbosch, Shofar, it's a bit different. Janice will know. Janice saw me a lot of time with a mic. Okay, Janice was stage manager. You need a stage manager in Stellenbosch, okay? Janice knows all about that. It's not like here. There's a stage manager, okay? There's lots of things happening by me, so. Now there's a big stage in Stellenbosch, big stage. Pastor Friend Lucille, they're sitting there at the bottom, watching you, your 2 minute little speech. Now you need to say something that nobody else has ever said about stewardship, finances, 4 services on a Sunday, 2 morning services, 2 evening services. I mean, what do you say that nobody's ever said? 4 services on a Sunday. And when I started doing it, fear hit me. I'm telling you, I was vreesbevangen to do it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it for years. I always looked at the people and I had so many things in my head that I wanted to say. And then when I started doing it, it was a nightmare. A complete disaster. Every time they email me the roster, that now I must do it in 2 weeks from now, then I already start stressing, you know. I feared that roster coming. And I got to a place where I said to myself, you don't have to do this. You're a volunteer. You don't have to do this to yourself. Are you crazy? Just go and tell them you don't want to do it anymore. Now, that's after maybe about 4 or 5 times, okay? You do it, say, every 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So it's already after 6 months. I'm still not over this fear of mine. And, you know, the moment I decide I'm going to tell them I not want to do it, God said to me, Sonika, then you're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do. You need to overcome this fear. You need to overcome it. Because I knew deep in my heart the devil wants to silence me. You see, I'm not a natural public speaker. I'm really not. I know many of you can do it much better than I can. Many of you are much more talented, your English is much better. And for some, I know you can do it much better than I can. You're naturally more gifted. But for some other reason, God pushed me into this thing. And I knew I had to persevere. I had to get over my fears. I had to get over it. Okay, now I'm struggling. Okay, now it's like intercession between me and Andre. Sunday, I'm going to do it again. You know, I do everything in the natural and in the spiritual. I need to survive these 2 minutes. And now Andre tells me, nobody's listening in any case. So why do you stress? I don't know. I'm so fearful. I'm not going to survive. But you know what? I just want to share this with you because God turned that whole thing into one of my greatest victories. I can't say that I did it completely, completely without fear at the end. But I started to enjoy it. I still had to pray. I still had to ask God, please help me with my English. Please help me with my 2-minute thing that I can't, I must encourage people. I can't tell them that God is watching you. You know, you must give. God's watching you. Nothing like that. I must encourage them. I must, in 2 minutes, say something nobody's ever said before. And I must be encouraging. And I must be anointed. All those, you know, those things. And, you know, at the end, I really started to enjoy it. At the end, God gave me so many things. And for me personally, it was such a victory. You know, it was such a victory. People came to me in the church saying, Sonika, God spoke to me. You know, Andre said to me, nobody's listening, but I'm telling you, some people do listen. And they came to me, they said, Sonika, when you do the offering message, God speaks to me. I said, wow, really? Yes. And you know, so I had feedback. It was as if God wanted to encourage me. Okay, I know it was God speaking to people and saying, go to Sonika and tell her that it meant something to you. And it changed my life. You know, it was a place of complete fear, anxiety, trauma in my life that moved. And it's stupid. I know it's absolutely stupid. Maybe you think, Sonika, you really have to deal with your fears. But for me, it was a big thing. And I want you to imagine a life without fear. I want you to imagine that. Imagine your life without any fear. Imagine the peace. Imagine the joy. Imagine the confidence. Imagine the guts you can have. Imagine the risks sometimes you're going to take. Not being irresponsible, but just going for something, just trying something new, just cutting your hair. You've always had long hair. You know, just being bold and courageous, just enjoying life. Imagine a life without fear. I mean, it must be the most amazing place to live a life without fear. And I'm telling you, it's not God's will for us to live in fear. Maybe you think it's my personality. Maybe you're so used to fear in your life that you think it's normal. You think this is the truth. This is life. This is what life is all about. It's not. Okay, it's not God's will for you to live in fear. It's not God's will for you to live in fear. It's not God's will for you to walk with a knot in your stomach all the time. It's not His will for you to not be able to sleep at night. It's not His will. Okay, and you have to believe it. You have to believe it. So I'm really trusting the Lord. God is here tonight. Can you feel it? Okay, in the worship, I know God is here. God wants to do something. I don't know what it is. But God wants to set people free tonight. Okay? It's like Andre says, you know, at this weekend, he said, it's what you put into it, what you're going to get out of it. It's what we put into, when God is here, it's what we put into it, that is what we're going to get out of it. Okay? So, I want us to trust the Lord tonight together for freedom. Are you ready to do that? Okay. Let's trust the Lord together. I know many of you attended the weekend. Maybe you already experienced freedom. So if you can then be my intercessors now. You know, let's just trust the Lord. Maybe you're afraid that you're never going to get a husband or a wife. Okay, that's a legitimate fear. Marriage is awesome. But to fear is not going to make any difference. Okay, it's just going to torment you, and it's going to keep you from flourishing and from being yourself and actually catch your husband quickly. All right, it's all about trusting in God, because God is awesome. I'm telling you, the Lord is amazing, and the devil is a defeated foe. Okay, do you believe it? Amen. Amen. Let's just all stand. David, can we do that last? I actually want us maybe to do that very last song you did again. Okay, open up the gates. And can I ask you, you know, as I said, it's what you're going to put into it, what you'll get out of it. All right? There's no pressure. Nobody's going to force anything on you. But if you want to be set free of whatever fear you have, we would like to anoint you. What that is, we just put a bit of oil on your forehead. It's just symbolic of God's presence. And we pray that God will set you free. Okay. So if you have a need, if you struggle to sleep at night, if you're sitting with that knot in your stomach all the time, if you need to say something at school or do an oral and you're terrified, your keel trek too. You can't do it. Okay? And you think, it's just my personality, I need to deal with it. It's not God's will. Okay? Not all of us are going to become motivational speakers or do what Andre and I do. Not all of us will do that. But God doesn't want you to be afraid to speak your mind, to raise your opinion, to be bold and courageous. So I want to ask you, can I ask all the people, the cell facilitators and the people who did the Liberty Course, can you all pray with me? Just pray with me, please. I just feel we need to really trust the Lord for freedom. And while we're doing that last song, you see, nobody's going to even see or hear you, because David's going to go for it. We would love to pray with you and anoint you with oil and trust God that you will sleep well, that you will not fear. Okay, fear is a thief, remember, it's stealing from us. It's stealing from you, it's stealing from your life. Just come to the front, we quickly can.